listening to Underground Espionage, Episode 1. I'm Mike.
I'm Tara.
We are here. How is it going, Tara?
It's fantastic.
So if you have listened to our Noise Extra Patreon series, Home Time, and you're here from that, you know what to expect over here. This is a new start, a new series, but made available to everybody, still in the format of that series. So you may be familiar with how we do things, and if you're brand new over here, welcome.
Yeah, just in interest of keeping Noise Extra noise focused,
yes,
we decided to start a new thing, and we still may discuss noise or reference noise. It's part of our lives.
Obviously.
However, we will also discuss underground cinema, things that are barely cinema, things that are absolutely wonderful, stone-cold classics,
yeah,
music, books, all of
exactly
those
it
things
might not,
that we like to participate in.
Might not always be movies. Could be episodes on wine. Could be episodes on cheese.
Oh, I would like to do
could
that.
Could be episodes on whatever strikes our fancy for that episode. And
I would say all the things that inspire us to create.
Exactly. And we're also looking to do interviews over here, which we didn't do on Home Time. So a little bit different and a fresh start over here. In fact, we did over 250 episodes of Home Time on the Patreon. Certainly, there's a good chance we're going to do a movie that we did over there, but mm-hmm, just with a fresh take, fresh eyes. I can barely remember movies that we saw. 250 episodes, it's 5 years. So I can barely remember everything we watched 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it is wild how your opinion can change even over that short period of time
100%.
When you kind of gather the context of society at large.
Just taking a look at stuff we haven't looked at over there, possibly stuff we have looked at. Obviously, today, if you saw the description, we're kicking this series off with a classic porn film. So there's going to be a lot of classic porn talk. In fact, we have a lot of movies lined up that we're going to be doing. We have a whole list of episodes ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're the black sheep. We are the underground black sheep. So even if we discuss giant major movies, it's from the perspective.
Yeah.
That's the espionage. We're creeping up from the underground and spying on the major stuff and coming back and reporting,
yeah,
to you, the listener. So that's what this series is going to be. It's each episode will focus on one thing, maybe two things. In fact, a lot of the ideas for episodes we have coming up are two movies together that may have some sort of relation. In fact, there's a couple porn movies that are inspired by one that's inspired by old 30s screwball comedies and one that's inspired by old 30s musicals that we're going to do.
Two things that are near and dear to my
exactly
heart.
So we're going to do a musical with that, you know, and a, yeah, comedy with the other one and stuff like that. So that's really what it's going to be. And it's also going to be kind of loose, and it's going to be, we talk off the cuff. Sometimes Tara prepares things in her Tara news section that she hasn't told me about, and she tells me about on air. Sometimes we prepare.
Well, I think it's more interesting. Like, I enjoy having you as a more captive audience by telling you these things when,
right,
we're recording. It makes it more exciting.
Right.
I get your undivided attention.
Right.
And that is fantastic. So I can tell you about these things that normally may, you know, just get cursory attention.
Exactly.
I can
and
tell you about the excitement of the naked mole rat and all of its glorious properties that make it oh so special in this world.
Exactly. And we will be releasing episodes weekly. Might be on a different day in the week, might be Thursday, might be Friday, but we will be going weekly for this series.
Yeah, I mean, we're creatures of habit.
Yeah,
we like having routine, we like having habit because,
yeah,
you know, I find that like when you're doing a lot of things, once you establish the habit, it's easy to maintain. Once you don't establish that habit, once you skip something, it's so easy for it to fall out of your routine.
I mean, we even got busy, and even on our Home Time series, we had missed weeks, and we didn't like doing that.
No.
And so it made it hard. So we're out of that habit.
But it is that,
you know,
thing. But I think that goes to all, like, facets of doing art and just living your life.
Yeah.
Like, if you establish when you're doing something and you do it consistently, it becomes easier than taking a week off, losing all your momentum and your drive, and then trying to come back into it.
Exactly.
It's like, instead of taking time off to regroup, it's like you should just drop one thing out.
Yeah.
And then bring it back in, because once you just get out of those habits, you know.
Yeah.
And just like I stopped painting, and like, when's the last time I painted? Like, yeah. it's those things that,
and,
like,
and of, yeah, course we're saying that as Noise Extra proper has moved towards more of an of every other week thing, but that's because we wanted to give more attention to the interviews and, yeah, the episodes, and give ourselves that extra time to research. Yeah. So that's the reason we're doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas this, we want to keep the flow going.
Yeah.
Because it's just, we're not going to have as many interviews, et cetera. But like I said, we are planning on having some interviews. And as of now, we're keeping it the full episodes free for everyone. May keep that up. May someday implement some sort of Patreon action.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right now, we're not doing that, but just letting you guys know it may happen, but right now, it's not. And we wanted to just open this up to everybody, open up the underground espionage to everybody. And we're really excited to talk about one of the most referenced movies on our other podcasts, Pretty Peaches. So that is going to be our main feature today. But I'm sure we have some other things to talk about. Terry, did you have some other things to talk about?
You did. Okay, well, then you go. I had not.
Well, I was going to go ahead with some of the stuff we watched last night. We watched incredible stuff after watching Pretty Peaches last night. We watched some great, we were in the mood to watch some live footage.
And, oh my God, it was amazing. Yes.
Yeah, been in a GO zone with, they just announced a new album. Dropped some new shirts yesterday, so we watched Geo live in Japan, and that is really one of the great live videos. I love when they're wearing the red blindfolds,
yes,
but then also they have the blindfolds, but they have the paper, so they're reading, but they're blindfolded.
Yes.
This is some of the genius of Geo, and of course, having, you know, that we still talk about the incredible set almost exactly a year ago. How crazy is that, by the way, in Japan?
Is it really? God.
So when we say live in Japan, we're talking about the original Live in Japan, yes, DVD, not watching the recent set. But wow, what an incredible
No,
atmosphere.
It's a staggering
just truly
performance,
one of the greatest.
But it's very sober. You know what I mean? Like, everything about it is
controlled.
Exactly.
And
very much
exactly
controlled.
And
but I think after, like, we needed a good follow up to watching other serious things that we were going to discuss at a later date.
We've been watching a lot of really good stuff that we're excited to. We've been clocking for
so
episodes.
We needed that, like, artistic commitment.
Exactly. And we had just been listening to Death Zones all day, mm-hmm, and it just felt like I wanted to see it again. And yeah, just that control, that dedication.
But there's just these people that have kind of a present, whatever it is, they got it. That delivery, the voice, the presence, the way they carry their bodies. Like, you know, posture, I think people underrate what posture can do for you. Like, in terms of being somebody being interesting or attractive or anything, like, posture really... Like, I know it sounds stupid to say, but...
You've always been a posture... You've always told me... That posture is important.
It is. Like, how many times have you seen somebody, like, oh my God, what show is that where an older woman tells somebody, like, you're not doing your breasts any favor, dear, because she's leaning over, so they just look like they're hanging down.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But what a true thing to speak of. You know what I mean? You're definitely not doing your breasts any favor, dear, if you're slumping over all the time. It's not helping. But even just in terms of looking confident, and looking like you're, you know, fully together, looking like you're ready for a performance, like, it does a lot.
Yeah, so just, again, thinking about, especially with industrial and power electronics, that idea of control being such an important part of it. And Geo,
yes,
has it just unbelievably. I mean, especially when we, you know, seeing him in Japan and even seeing him in LA, I mean, they had everyone in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the Live in Japan DVD... Again, just like, oh God.
Determination, practice,
yeah,
all of
so
it.
So can't wait to hear the new record. Excited for that. Obviously they has some new shirts up, so you know, got that cart going so we can don our Geo attire. But yeah, so those are some great videos to watch after watching Pretty Peaches, and these are the things that will forever be with us, and these are the things that will forever inspire us, and these are the things that for us is what the underground is all about. And we'll never, this is how we live our lives, you yeah. know, like, so we'll never not be what we want to surround ourselves with, you know?
Yeah. And Pretty Peaches has occupied a place in my brain for so long because it's clearly a case of somebody like shooting high. You know what I mean? I love that about pornography from
this era, 70s and 80s.
Is like, they're just kind of like, even like Jess Franco, you know what? 100%, they're taking,
who we'll certainly be talking about here.
They're taking the materials they had, and they weren't going to say like, I'm making pornography, so I'm just going to have it be just,
I'm not gonna
bland
give a fuck.
Fucking.
Right, yeah.
Like, they are engaged in the personalities. They're engaged in the storyline. They're engaged in the concept and the look. Like, it's really, to me, like inspiring.
It
like,
totally
in
is.
A way, but it truly is, because, like, you, if you want to look at a culture, look at their smut, right? Or look at what they consider their smut. And to see this, it's just such an era where people were inspired. And are they inspired by darkness? Yes. Are they inspired by also greatness? Yes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, it's shooting for the moon.
With the means that you have, and that's something
from
that,
the underground.
And that's something we love. You know, we're definitely going to be talking about shot on video movies here, and that's something we love about shot on videos movies. Shooting higher than the what you have to create that, but not letting that stop you. And that's a feeling and an attitude that we feel very strongly about.
So let's take a minute and appreciate the glorious soundtrack from Pretty Peaches. And I'll show you how, just how we can make. We won't know what you, I need everything.
Time to discuss Alex De Renzi's 1978 Pretty Peaches.
That's what it takes.
It really has it. It's got everything that it takes.
So talking about aiming high, trying to broaden the genre, Pretty Peaches is loosely based or inspired by
Candide.
Candide.
Voltaire's Candide, exactly. And a lot of porn this time was you taking these ideas, bigger ideas, and distilling them
into
porn.
Of course.
I
mean,
we're definitely going to talk about
I mean movie. We talked about Canterbury Tales and
Hypatia Lee's Canterbury Tales and Pasolini's Canterbury Tales on our old series. Hey, maybe we'll do a re-up of that. You never know.
We probably should, but just thinking about the main character in Candide, a young man of the most unaffected simplicity, whose face is the true index of his mind. For years, I've tried to explain the way to describe Pretty Peaches and Peaches as she is known in this film.
Or Anonymous, as she's known.
Or Anonymous, as she is known, because she does get a clonk on the head and have amnesia. But I just would always say she's, like, positive and good-natured. But watching this again, she's not necessarily positive.
She's just going along with every experience
her
that
face
she encounters.
Is the true index of her mind. Exactly. She's not, she's just saying exactly what she's experiencing in the most simplistic way, right? Like her dialogue is just fantastic, but I guess we should at some point kind of like discuss. Well, Desiree Cousteau is pretty peaches.
At some point, Tara?
The plotness.
How about now? How about we go ahead and do that now?
Which part are we going to do?
Well, it can all come together. So, yes, Desiree Cousteau is peaches. She did win an adult film award for best actress for this movie. And she was really only in porn for a very short time, about 3 years. Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls is before.
Yeah.
Pretty Peaches, and that's a movie we will definitely be doing an episode on. She's also in a great one, Miss Magnificent, that
she
we
is
will
fantastic.
Discuss.
And she wanted to be a model, but she was too short. She tried to do lingerie modeling, but they said she was too thick.
And
or as she said, too fat. She is in no way fat.
Oh, she is
in
so,
any way. She's perfect.
So incredible. Yeah. She's got this just great, ooh, just creamy body. Just perfect tits, and she's just great, and I love her face. Just gives that, just like that. I think
she
the good naturedness
sweetness.
Comes from her face, and even when she's in smaller parts, the movie's not. She's not the main person in the movie. She's in Tale of Tiffany Lust, other movies like that. She just always has a great scene, and she just exudes this immediate. You just immediately want to be with her in this movie from the second you see her, from when you hear her talking. She's just totally magnetic in that.
But like, that's just Desiree Cousteau. Like, he made this film for her, and I think it suits her so well because she has that, just her voice, her face, her everything. Like, let's say just her entire demeanor just seems so welcome and friendly. And bless her for her service because she was fantastic.
So, Tara, would you like to go over the plot of Pretty Peaches?
It's very complicated. It's actually not very complicated. Peaches is going to her father's wedding.
John Leslie being her father, classic porn actor, and he's great in this.
Her daddy is taking on a new bride, and she's going to go to Virginia City in Nevada to meet him at his wedding so that they can celebrate the marriage with a bit of gambling. But along the way, she gets upset, drinks too many shots, slams her Jeep into a tree, and loses her memory. And who finds her? A couple of roughnecks. What are we going to call them? Let's call them
roughnecks.
I love them.
They're
a couple
great.
Of regular Joes.
Yeah, Joey Silvera, who's kid, and he's great in it. And she gets drunk after the wedding because she's sad that she's not going to get all the attention from her dad. Remember the dad just giving
her the
shots?
Yeah, I was going to come back to it. I was trying to give it just like a gloss over. He was like, drink it like your daddy. He's like, shoot it. I'm like, oh, it's not a good look. Here's the thing. Like, I was trying to sum it up and then come back to
it, but we can discuss it now. Hey, first time listeners, this is going to happen.
Derailing happens.
Derailing. You might yell at the speaker, but it's going to happen.
Over each other. Now, this is the thing that, like, Peaches, like, when you talk about hubris, fatal flaws, whatever you want to talk about in terms of the development of a storyline, shots. This derails your night. Like, we don't do shots. We're not shot people.
We are not.
Because shots get everything out of control, much like in the story Pretty Peaches. This is very, very much accurate. And it's like, you can't understand. Like, if you take three quick shots as a small woman, as I can relate, we're the same height, me and Desiree Cousteau. We're five fivers. You think that you're as drunk as you are an hour later, but you're not because you can't process those shots. So 2 hours later, you just keep getting drunker and drunker and drunker, and it just everything decomposes rapidly. And I know that people do it to get drunk really fast, but you're just enhancing your chaotic puke factor, blackout factor, like fivefold.
Look, anyone who knows us in real life knows that we enjoy our beverages. If you do see us out at a place that has beverages, do not get us a shot. And if you do, I'm going to fake like I took it. So I will
pour it into my water glass.
We've always said that that's the It's the limit, and it never ends good.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make things more better.
And in this case, Pretty Peaches, it ends in a car accident and amnesia.
Amnesia, and she's off with these two roughnecks, and they decide because their car broke down, their car doesn't work, they're gonna take her back to their place in San Francisco in her Jeep and pretend it's their Jeep. So she ends up in their barn domicile that has a cool ladder. I mean, again, it's got a load of books.
Maybe it's cool. Even Alex Lorenzi's place. It's definitely a lived-in place, and he lived in San Francisco, and that's where he was based.
But it's one of those wild places that you don't see much, like, dripping with charm. Character up the wazoo.
Well, it reminded me a little bit of, you mentioned Manson here before, but in the Manson documentary from a few years ago, it was sort of like a six-parter, and they showed Brian Wilson's place where they would hang out.
Oh,
it almost reminded me like of a not as big, you know, Brian Wilson's place was definitely a little larger, but it reminded me, or no, I'm sorry, Dennis Wilson's place. Sorry, apologies. Dennis, hey, look, hey. We don't have our fearless leader to do those edits, and you're getting it raw from us.
Maybe
much like how Peaches is getting it raw.
She's getting it raw for a while, but maybe we'll do edits one day.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. There might be. I might edit a few things here and there and act like I don't. You know, look, you never know. You know, hey, don't look at the man behind the curtain. So it reminded me a bit of that, or even a bit of Gary Hinman, the guy that Bobby Beausoleil killed. Place where you kind of see it. It has that look to it. Even though those places are in LA, this being in San Francisco, it had that feel to it.
And so she is swept away to this San Francisco barn loft bachelor pad where she's trying to recover her memory. And she goes through a series of events where they try to consult their doctor uncle, who is very much pretending to be a Marx brother and gives her an enema.
He can't cure anything!
in a hotel bathroom. And she goes through a series of events where she eventually finds a psychiatrist who wants to unlock her memory by getting her to know herself sexually. So then they go on some sexual escapades whereby her memory is eventually unlocked in an orgy where she encounters her father and new mother, and everything ends happily ever after.
That is a good summation of this movie.
It's quite simple. I knew I could do it fast, drive in the details.
We're going to get into the minutia, because just right away, first off, literally the very first shot of the movie, I love this gas station. Mm-hmm. I love the way it looks. I love the... obviously it's somewhere either in Nevada or in desert California, because Virginia City is in Nevada where mm-hmm. the wedding is, and then they're in San Francisco. So it's somewhere in wherever they were shooting this scene.
Yes.
I'm hoping I would assume that Melusine, and again, a lot of the pornography we're going to talk about has been released by Vinegar Syndrome, Melusine, Quality X, all their different labels, and this is definitely due for like a real deluxe. I would like to see some more behind the scenes stuff on this, but I love the gas station right away. I'm just like, I love the signage. I'm immediately like, yes, I'm loving it.
This world is a world that it makes you feel like we missed something. You know what I mean? There's just little elements where you're like, man, and you know, this is also 1978. There is a water shortage. Nevada didn't have any access to the Colorado River was drying up, so they lost a massive percentage of their water. So the drought ended the next year. But truly, during this, like,
they reference it a few times.
Yeah, but it was that crazy time, like in the 70s, where there was that darkness of water shortages, gas shortages, like everything famously happening, but also people trying to be open and sexual, and you know what I mean, just like that whole, as Lana Del Rey says, the freedom land of the 70s, like that is embodied in this. And yes, aesthetically, the gas station is beautiful. I like when Peaches asked him to, will you check my oil, please?
That's
by the way,
it's her first line.
She does everything she said. It's kind of like this, and it's just so sweet. And that's her first line is, will you check my oil, please? And he goes and starts sniffing the seat that she got up off.
And she looks amazing in this red outfit with these high heels. And I will note, like, to me, this is truly one of the great porn roles and films, and just this is, she's one of the iconic porn characters. This haircut, 99.9999% of the time, I am out. I am like, nope, that is a deal breaker. We talk about exceptions a lot here. We talk about exceptions to the rule. That's something that the underground really thrives in. Sometimes every 9 out of 10 times that thing wouldn't work, but that one time that it works even more because it's the exception.
Like those
of the
Power
rule.
Electronics vocals that should not work, but
and
they just
exception
do,
of the rule. Nine out of 10, it doesn't work, and that one time it works, and it makes it that much more powerful. This haircut, perfect example. 999 times out of 1,000, I'm out. The exception here, I am so in, and I love it.
But I mean, but that's the thing. It's like allowing exceptions. You know what I mean? Like having those things that, like the individual. I mean, that is the underground.
There's something that is I don't accept coming up here soon. And that's the thing is when you're dealing with 70s and 80s porn, you're dealing with some hair situations, and we are going to discuss.
Oh, well, this is.
Well, just we'll get to it.
You
want to
get
to
it?
It?
Yes, okay, yeah. We
it.
Can get
to,
I mean, I thought we could talk about it now.
It's not a, it's not something
well,
that
I'm going
to
kind of go into it now. But here's the thing. But again, there are exceptions, and then there are things where you're just like, that everything is kind of as expected, normal, normal, normal. And then you get this one thing thrown in that piques your interest, makes it interesting, and you're like, why did they do that? For example, Peaches is going, like, she automatically declares, my daddy's getting married today, and I'm going to the wedding. And then you meet Daddy, John Leslie, and you meet her future mom, and she has this mustache, and it's a mustache. But I'm going to say this, Mike.
No. I listen, here's the, I'm going to interrupt you,
I don't
Tara.
Hate a little mustache.
I'm going to interrupt
I
you,
I don't
Tara.
Hate him.
If you give any positive talk to this,
but she's so nice to Peaches in the end. Like the character is great. Like, but that's what I'm saying though is just like in Jess Franco, she is that weird character that kind of makes everything just like, why the hell is she in this?
Yeah. So
you know what I mean? It is that. It's that insertion of strangeness.
The
with her,
the new wife of Peaches' dad. It goes by the name Flower. As far as I don't think I'd ever seen her in.
I've never seen
anything.
Her in anything else.
Lily is her name. I mean, I think she's in a few things, but yeah, Pretty Peach is the only thing that I have seen her in. She is definitely the weakest part of the movie, and a big reason for that is the insane amount of pubic hair. It
well,
is and body hair. She's got leg
pain.
Hair. It is
arm hair, leg hair, is, mustache. She's a hairy gal.
It's a tough there's scene to watch. And I don't it's an odd choice of casting. As much as we love this movie and as much as I rate this to be one of the all time great porns of the golden age, her scenes could be taken.
But
out.
I do feel like it's a cultural thing that maybe we don't
there's
understand
no, there's
because
no
I feel like
way.
I feel because also the chick in the sex show has like a big happy trail.
Yeah, but you barely see
like,
that. Luckily,
was that like a thing? Like were they kind of trying to like glorify body hair
no,
in the 70s?
No,
I don't know.
No, and I don't understand it because they knew to shave their armpits, so it wasn't like it's
yeah,
like
she does,
who, why
she
did it take so long for everyone to figure out
how to trim their
see piece. Now Desiree Cousteau on the other hand. It's nice. It's well kept. I would like it to maybe be a little bit more cleaned up, but it's
nice.
It's manageable.
She has straight pubes and straight hair.
It's quite.
You know
it's
that that's
manageable.
Her hair texture. It's straight.
But
some people
it
have
is
straight
a.
Pubes.
So I will say that that is my caveat disclaimer is that the scenes with the new mom are not my favorite, and you're here for Peaches.
I like
so
well.
You're
I
here
like
for
I like Mom's last scene when she's out on the patio right
she,
before
and
the
she,
orgy.
You barely
scene.
See her,
but that's great. I think that's great. But she has like it's like almost like hot shorts out of
it's
pubes.
Bad.
I mean,
it's
they're
bad.
So it's
all right,
so
let's
much.
Move, you know what? We've said it. Let's move on so we don't have to think about it anymore.
Well, no, but my point was, well, you were dwelling on it. I was trying
to
move
let
on
everyone
to this,
know.
But. But my thought was when watching this, it was like, this was also a time in porn when like it, it didn't mean you were going to fuck hot people.
Yes,
and
you
that
noted
is
that.
Just so different.
You did
like,
note that, and yeah, and that
also
is,
think about the guys didn't have dick pills, boner pills.
You just had to do it.
They didn't, there's no Cialis, there's no Blue Chew,
and so
there's
in a
no
way,
Viagra.
So you're right. In a way, the positive takeaway from that is the idea, like, oh man, these guys, like,
they're doing
hey,
it.
Hey man, they're doing it. John Leslie, he's going in.
He stepped up to that plate.
Yeah,
but it also means like you had to just, you know, hold on, let me regroup. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah,
might
yeah.
have people with scars. You might
like
have
I
people...
honestly don't think I could have performed in that scene.
You might have people with scars. You might have people with weird nips. You might have people with moles and strange haircuts and rashes and like, like there's rashes sometimes. There's like, the pubes that I didn't even know existed. You know, yeah. I mean, growing in places I didn't even know they could grow. And it's such a time where, and just like we were thinking, is like, why did no one think to like do something about it?
Yeah, and again, that's
they were like, no, that's just what it's like,
and that's just obviously part of getting into this era of pornography that we are going to discuss a lot of movies from this era. So this will be our one soapbox about that, and it's just you just accept it. You just accept that that's part of it, and you go forward.
But I guess what I'm saying
there's
is
there's going to be hair.
I'm just saying, like, the part of it that I like, though, I like that strangeness added in. You know what I mean? It makes me think I'm in a Jess Franco film.
Yeah, it does give
it's back when things were individual.
Different worldness of it, because yeah. It just is so different. And just even these porns
like,
are...
Like, why does everybody have to look the same now? Like, everybody has the same facial injections, the same butt doctor, the same tit doctor,
yeah.
The same everything going on, the same Botox.
And hey,
like,
and hey,
why?
We're pro all that stuff,
I love all
way.
That stuff, but it's...
Let's be clear,
yeah.
We're totally
oh,
pro
yeah.
that stuff. But also...
But I appreciate weird nips.
But also, just in general, these movies, this era of porn, the rhythm is so different that definitely when I first saw stuff like this, like, in fact, a movie that we just got the Blu-ray of that I had a dubbed tape of in high school,
oh my
Little
goodness.
Oral Annie. Yeah, I was able to, like, you know, jerk off to it. But, like, now, I can't... This isn't... These aren't... Like, you can't... Because the rhythm is so different.
It's like
than,
watching
like,
a movie.
Porn,
yeah, you can't, like... Yeah.
That you can get... It, you can get psyched and you can get in a zone, but I don't necessarily put these on in the same way I put
no.
on a modern porn.
Because
or,
a modern
yeah.
porn, the sex scene is like
it's
20
for,
minutes long.
Well, and it's for the
jerking.
The outcome is that, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. But with these, I want to sit and actually watch the entire movie.
But I think that, you know, now that we're discussing it, it makes sense because modern pornography is meant to be watched at home. Whereas, like, VHS,
yeah.
you can sit
well,
and take your
well,
time.
Well, and these were screened.
Yeah.
Like, these were in theaters.
Yeah, that's what I'm
know?
Saying. So these were in theaters,
yeah.
so you couldn't sit there and take your time and watch a 20-minute sex scene and like, in anticipation of, like, knowing when the money shot was
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah, the rhythm is just different. Yeah. And again,
this is,
again
but again, it's like a movie, but it's just meant to titillate
we
you.
We love modern pornography, obviously. It's just watching these things. You watch them in a different rhythm. But it does. But it also like it totally. I mean, it totally gets us psyched. We're not. Like, it's not like it's like we're like.
Yeah, it's arousing.
We don't watch it like we're dead fish. Like well, you know what I mean. Like.
I mean, you know, I'm just dead inside, but that's okay. You know what? What scene I was like, I was getting itchy during.
Well, the very first scene with Peaches. So let's discuss
when Peaches has amnesia and her. I call the guys the dipshits in my notes.
Oh, they're nice.
Well, I think
they're
cute.
I think they're
so
really
nice.
Lovable dipshits.
Yeah, they are lovable.
Even though, like, basically the first scene is there. He basically bangs an unconscious chick.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
Know, it's as lovable
so
as you can get.
It's all right. But I mean, that's
so she,
it's
she
a movie,
crashes
so
her
it doesn't
car
matter.
And she falls and she's just on the floor, the forest floor. And
there's a bunch of leaves. And
but
I just
love
like,
this scene where they're like, should we take the loosen her clothes? Because, you know, so she doesn't. Maybe we should take her panties off.
Maybe we
off.
Should loosen her clothes. Yeah, how much should we loosen? I guess the looser the better.
Yeah, I love it.
I guess
love
the
loose
and the whole like theme of this thing is like, well, we better loosen their clothes. They do that with the mom too. Like, well, oh, you're feeling faint. Well, we better
this
loosen your
is
clothes.
It's hilarious. There's a lot of these. It's
her
really,
panties look like they're too tight.
And he pulls them off, and then he has sex with her unconsciously. But you know, she starts getting into it.
But
you were itchy.
Oh my God!
It's
can
like
you
the,
imagine?
It's like the hay
I would,
scene in Summer Camp Girls.
Oh my God! I would die. I would like. I can't imagine like laying on a pile of leaves. I don't know I don't think there would be any limit to the amount of rashes I would get. Like, but then that's also like people were just built different back then. They could bang in a pile of leaves and they were fine. I just don't think that that could happen in modern times.
I love this.
Our bodies are not made that way.
I love this scene in Joy Silvera, you know, goes to town. And I love afterwards when she kind of wakes you up. She's like, my panties are on inside out. What'd you guys do to me?
Oh, my God. And she full on has the Lucy she's Ricardo. Like,
it's so funny.
It's the best. She is so like exponential.
But she is also good natured because when crazy things happen to her, she's not necessarily like she's like disturbed by it. And at one point she's like, that's going to psychologically affect me. Like, but she's still so great. So that scene's great, and then she decides to go back to San Francisco with them, which then leads to the most infamous scene from the movie, which was actually cut from a lot of the VHS pressings, and that is the bathroom enema scene.
Now, I have some thoughts about this. Now, one, she is taken to a hotel where she has to walk through the lobby and into this crazy, beautiful hotel tile bathroom where the urinals extend all the way to the floor. And the bathroom attendant.
I like how impressed you were by that. Like, I'm like, I don't know. A lot of them. Like, it is funny because you don't see men's bathrooms. Like, I see them.
Yeah, I guess I don't see men's bathrooms. Yeah. But okay, so tell me more about urinals. Do they always go all the way down to the floor, but they're covered by elegant tile and an art deco
design?
No,
I mean, just all the way to the floor, you know, I would say a good amount.
Yeah, I mean, I was more impressed by, like, I would think that it would splatter on your shoes and it would be annoying.
Well, it's awful.
Yeah.
It is
It's like way too far
to me,
for the pee to fall. So
urinal,
you have to pee on the back wall, right? So it drips down the
it's
back,
literally,
I would imagine.
I've never understood the non-advancement of, like, urine. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't spend the extra dough to always have dividers in between. Like, I hate it. It's so annoying.
Oh, and you're just, there's no divider in between.
It's so annoying.
Oh, yeah. Like, because, I mean, how would you not look?
Well, you
right
don't.
There.
I've never once looked at it. It's easy to not look, but it's still just fucking annoying.
It's weird.
I've always hated it.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
But,
I don't know.
But no, that is a very fancy bathroom, Tara. I wasn't saying
I guess
they're all
wouldn't
fancy
mind
like that.
Peeing in front of people, just the wiping part is like, I don't
well,
want to
that,
see that.
You don't,
with women, well, that's the whole thing. Like, I wouldn't mind peeing in front of a bunch of people. I just don't want to watch the other part. Now, here's the thing.
But no, are they
those
fancy
urinals,
like that? No.
And then the splashback. Like, I would be more concerned about the splashback. You need that little
it's
rug
awful.
Or whatever thing
it's
they
awful.
Put in them. I don't understand urinals.
It's awful.
I don't have
but
to do
yes,
that.
This is a very fancy
so,
bathroom.
It's a very fancy bathroom, but what I'm saying is that I get nostalgic for hotels that had the disorienting carpet, the disorienting wallpaper, the crazy colorful tile. You know what I mean? Like the modern, like millennial gray.
Yeah, sterile.
Just everything is taupe. Everything is gray.
Everything
is white.
Unoffensive
just like,
as it can be.
Just like neutral
don't,
colors.
We don't want anyone to
and
get...
everybody's like, no one should stim from being
yeah,
in the lobby.
Yeah,
I'm stimming. I can't
just,
handle looking
yeah.
at wallpaper. Like, I yeah, yeah. cannot. I, it's just,
obviously, if anyone's seen the inside of our place, you know.
Yeah, but it's just like how... I feel like there's something lost there. You know what I mean? Because 100% it's
there is.
Because at some point, like, yeah, like that ultra sleek modernism, like, I agree. Like, when it's in a large setting, you're like, wow, it's cool. Because it
no,
looks
when it's the house in Lost Highway, it's cool.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But the house in Lost Highway has a lot of color. House in Lost Highway has, like, deep greens and ruby reds, and it has accent colors.
Yeah,
their
totally.
VCR is orange. It's like mid century. Like, that has a darkness to it that's hard to get. But I see on a great scale how the impression of just monotone color looks exponential. But then when you do that in your entire world, it becomes dreary.
It's awful.
You know what I mean? So it's like the dreary factor right now is kind of outweighing the like impressive.
We just look at this. Everything in this place just looks amazing.
Yeah. There's just like textures and colors and richness and it's gorgeous. And then also the other thing is this is still a time which it's there are no wheels on luggage. Like, why did it take so long to get wheels on
a
goddamn
big
suitcase?
That
like,
discussed.
I feel like it happened in the 90s. Like, when did suitcases
it's
get
a big
wheels?
Theme we've discussed. Yeah, it's a,
like,
it's, an,
why?
It's insane.
Like now, even backpacks have wheels. But like, yeah. Why did it take so long for human beings to put wheels on luggage? And then we put wheels on them. It was like two wheels, and you had
why
to like
did it take
use
so
them
long
just two.
For human beings put wheels on luggage. Why did it take so long for chicks to realize? Clean that shit up
you,
in there.
You can trim portions of your pubes and nobody will ever know that hair was there in the first
so,
place.
So Tara, let's get into this infamous
so,
scene.
In the infamous scene, he comes in. He said he's going to cure her
of her amnesia
by pulling out an enema bag. And it's a 1970s enema bag. I remember these things. They were, you would find them in like grandparents' houses and your house. And you'd be like, what the hell is this? Because they are not to be confused with the rubber water bottle.
They look very similar.
Yeah. Or the douchebag. They all look very, very similar. But the enema bag has that unmistakable tube on it, right? And he pulls it out. And she was like, oh, I don't know. Are you sure you want to go through with this? And then he's like, whoa, yo. He's being a totally like...
Zany,
wacky,
almost Harpo, like a Harpo
Marx,
yeah, yeah,
that kind of talks. Maybe like...
Like
maybe not understanding, yeah, the Marx
nutty
brothers.
Professor,
well, he's a nutty
kind
professor,
of, yeah,
right? And so the scene is, you know, he puts the nozzle up there and he's filling it full of a ridiculous amount of water.
I'm so full up. I'm too full.
I'm filling up. I don't have any more room.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You're just terrible. And she's just like doing that like over the top, like,
yeah,
you know, pretending that she hates it, but it's obviously like a joke. And then at the end, she sprays the very clear enema water back at him.
Obviously,
and
this
comes,
was obviously there had been a few before the film of this,
yeah,
scene.
Clearly. Yeah. And it comes right out of her, you know, perfectly pink asshole, which they didn't have anal bleaching back then. So hats off to you, Desiree Cousteau.
Keeping it clean.
And so, well, I guess maybe that's a sign of youth, a pink asshole. And it gets him right in the face and he's like, oh, and he's in heaven. He's just laying on the ground covered in animal water. And he's like, thank you.
And she goes, I don't think you could cure anything.
You really shouldn't be fooling around back there.
That's what she says. Yeah, yeah. It's so great. Yeah.
Oh, and then there's also conserve water shortage signs
in the
bathroom.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it's in the gas station, in the bathroom. It's fantastic. And then we find out. And another wild haircut scene. This is when I first was like, oh, yeah. Like, people were not necessarily attractive. Or... the standard of being attractive is different in this era, because you go back to Daddy's place when he's still looking for peaches. He's going back home to see if she went there, back to the old ranch. And his maid Concha's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And his maid Concha's in a French maid,
yeah,
costume.
Yeah.
Not
her,
a uniform,
her accent,
it's a costume.
Goes from French to
German
to American.
I thought,
like, it kind of moves around.
I thought she was supposed to be, she's Concha, so I thought she was supposed to be Russian.
It kind of moves around.
Yeah, it moves around. And it's clear. And she has like a really, I'm trying to think of who, kind of like a, what, Florence Henderson haircut?
Not my fave.
Kind of like the Brady Bunch mom haircut, but less attractive, because her hair was cute at times.
Look, I'm
this
saying that's how
good.
Great. Desiree's in this movie, that these two scenes, the yeah, one with the new mom, and then this scene, which is a three-way with the maid and the new mom, aren't necessarily my favorite, but no. I let them go because of how great the rest of the movie is.
She is really red. That maid gets really red.
Yeah, she does look like she's got some sort of rash.
She does. She turns
on her back
very red. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm one to talk, right? But I don't know. I mean... I guess as long as we're not rolling around in leaves, I don't get that red. But, you know, whatever.
But I like the scenes back at the home. I like when they're trying to sleep all in the bed and she's like, I can't sleep with you guys doing that to me.
She's like, oh, keep your hands to yourself. Stop moving around like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all three trying to sleep in the bed with her in the middle.
And the guys are fighting. She's like, keep it down there for heaven's sakes. Like, I just love every time she talks. I just love it.
Mesmerized by all of her speaking. And then we get a great scene where the guys finally bring some ladies back, and they're like 70s cuties, and they're like gonna smoke some grass and bang, and they're like, we wanna fuck, you know. And they're just like, she's like, what, are you gonna have sex with these girls? And they're like, I hope so. It's
so
great.
Well, and she says that after she comes back from her job audition, which turns into just one of the most chaotic scenes, if not the most chaotic scene
in
the movie.
Well, first, this is when she comes back and the girls are there, and she goes, I had a really negative experience today that might scar me for life, and you don't even care. You're just trying to screw these little girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, a bunch of girls try to rape me. You know, like, it's so she goes to this audition that turns out to be some sort of BDSM, I guess, venue.
It's at a live sex show.
Live
so
sex
it did
show.
Say live sex show on the outside. So she goes to audition. The, you know, the sleazy director is just like, you know, show me your body. Okay, put this on. And then they just the girls run out and they say, "You were trying to screw Ruby's boyfriend."
She's like, "What? No."
And so then they tie her up and then all the audience walks in and they have a live like
and
sex
it's just
show.
Total chaos.
It's absolute chaos.
It's
and
just
I,
like total insane. And
the
she's
other
screaming and
the other
like,
ladies
yeah,
are going around like
laughing,
throwing dildos at audience members and letting them jerk off their strap-ons. And then they go and they, you know, have a big orgy scene on the stage. It's a whole like, but it's also something that you imagine was in San Francisco at this time.
Definitely.
Like
yeah,
it feels right. It feels definitely like that's what this place does. There's a small carpeted stage with some chairs and people definitely did that there. Like it feels yeah, absolutely accurate
and it ends
to
with
what's happening.
They're like, they ram this like giant, like
ridiculous
monster
thing.
And that's how the scene ends. And yeah, she's just like crying and like yeah, screaming. But again, it just, it does still, even as chaotic and as insane as it does have this sense of just, there is this sense of fun.
Well,
to, throughout all throughout this
well,
whole movie.
And yeah, we keep saying it, but it is like, we talk about how it's fun and playful, but it is that thing where it's clearly like, look, you're watching a movie. It doesn't feel like it's real or any, or that people weren't knowing. It's just like when you're at play or sexually where you make up like little rules or you
yeah,
make up little scenarios and you're like, okay, I'm going to be this person and you're going to be this person. Or it's like scenes that people make up from their fantasy and then they're playing them out. So I think that the 70s porns do that really well. And I mean, modern stuff does, you know,
as well,
that's why you have all the themes of like babysitter, stepsister,
yeah,
boyfriend,
yeah, yeah. No,
like
definitely,
all that stuff. But like the 70s really fixated on these like certain scenarios that people were trying to play out through their fantasy. One of them is, you know, exhibitionist.
Yeah.
The other one is like the unwilling exhibitionist. And then the other one, like that we classically have kind of morphed into a modern era into like the step mom, step dad,
yeah,
step
yeah, yeah,
sibling scene would be the total 70s obsession with incest.
And that does come into play here. And when you said that, Tara, I was going to say we are definitely going to be covering a movie that the actors were not very knowing and things that were happening were very dark and real.
Yeah, that's
we'll
not
be,
the
we'll,
case in this
we'll be covering
situation,
a movie like that in a little bit and a yeah, movie that we also really, really love and has really affected us. But that's for another episode. So
yeah,
this scene ends. She goes back to the homestead. They picked up some 70s broads, banging them. And then she... Is this now when she decides to go to see the psychiatrist?
Yeah.
Paul.
She meets him on the golf course.
She
at
meets
first
Paul Thomas, here, the one, the only Paul Thomas.
What a guy.
In so many great movies that we'll certainly be discussing coming up here throughout this series. But he's just so great in this. And he was actually in the Jesus Christ Superstar movie.
I would love to rewatch
yeah,
that with you. It's,
we'll have to
it
do
is,
that. We'll do a Paul Thomas.
It's so over the top. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, so he's
it,
great. And she meets him on a golf course when I love what she's wearing in this. And she decides to go see if he can help cure her of her amnesia.
No, it's great. And Peaches is always accusing everybody else. They're perverts. Like, she's accusing everybody of being perverted and the girls just wanting to have sex except for her. But then she's walking around in like this teeny tiny tank top, like
these
shorts,
green shorts
that
go right up her
yeah,
ass.
Yeah, they're cheeky butt shorts and high heels and like gold necklaces. And she's like, "Oh, you perverts are looking at me." Like yeah,
I am.
Yeah, of course.
Damn right I am.
But it is that like the Candide kind of innocence of everything. But so, yeah. So then we kind of reach the climax where the doctor says that. Oh, sorry. I was just trying to read.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, because that scene's great, and it's actually the real sex scene, because the sex scene she gets in the beginning, she's unconscious. So this one, she's really with it.
Yes.
And it just shows how great she is. You know, she's so great in this scene where she goes to the doctor.
Yeah, and they're on his doctor's couch, like when he's preparing his tray for the examination. It's clearly in someone's kitchen.
Yeah,
there's
like
okay,
a washing machine. Yeah,
and I
great,
think that the room they're in, like people would call it like the Florida room.
Oh,
you know
that's
what
exactly
I mean?
What came
like
to my
it's
mind,
definitely a Florida room. It's absolutely fantastic, and he is getting her out of her shell, right? And then they're going to go and have a party where she's going to a getting to know yourself party later. And I guess watching this, I started thinking about how like imagining I was like straw manning myself in my mind, like people get offended by this now because like she's playing so dumb. You just like that dumb
oh,
woman
God,
thing. But that's what I was you know, thinking about is like, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad that she's playing up this character.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Because it's clearly like a fantasy. You know what I mean? Again, it's like,
I mean, look,
it's a fantasy. It's a game that pornography allows you to play where you're telling these silly stories and making them erotic.
If you have been listening to our other series, you know how we feel. If this is your first episode listening to us in this format, you should know that we hate the modern world. We detest the modern world, and we detest...
I like air conditioning.
Well, yes, but we detest so much of what has happened and ideas that have been tried to be cemented, and we refuse to take that cement. If that cement comes near us, we take a cement... We take a what do you call it?
A jackhammer?
And we just jackhammer that cement and destroy it. So that's why so much of what we talk about is talking about stuff from the 70s, 80s, but even back all the way back to the 30s we're going to be talking about. So
yeah.
If this is your first time listening to us, heads up, we have no love for modern ideals. But yeah, no, exactly. Like, it's just like, this is like... Absolutely. I mean, dude, if you can't have fun watching this, you can't have fun watching anything.
Yeah, and I agree. The playfulness of it, I think, is really important, and I like that it can be an erotic silliness, you know, because isn't that true of all the best romps? Like, you have moments where everything's very serious, but you also have moments where things are playful and fun because you're being humans and vulnerable around each other, and it's in this.
We believe the great art has all of these things within it, and different times that you can view it, you can have different takes from it or feel differently from it.
Mm-hmm.
It can inspire you through darkness. It can inspire you through
humor, through playfulness.
All of it. And,
through,
and so
yeah,
much of
context.
The great stuff, so much of the great stuff has it all. But Tara, I think this ends in such a great fashion.
And if you know us, you know we're fans of oil scenes.
Hey.
And this ends in their own
big,
1978
big
oil overload situation.
So many 70s
orgy.
And 80s porns ends with the orgy, much like the end of eroticism, willpower. And this scene is just absolutely gallons of oil. Everyone just going at it. Peaches just looking so great.
And then
just grabbing, just sucking cocks.
Dad's
getting fucked.
In there,
it's amazing.
But there's so many people there.
So yeah, go ahead.
So Peaches' mom and dad had been invited to this party as well.
Unknowingly.
Yeah. Like, basically, the mom knew that it was going to be an orgy. She was kind of bringing daddy in, but he didn't quite know it yet. She just thought she was going to a swingers party, right? Peaches is going because it's being put on by the psychiatrist who wants to have like a coming out, a turning Peaches out party, right? Anonymous, because they don't even know her name yet. Which, again, like, oh, I'd be so sad to not know Peaches. Name is Peaches. I love it. I had one of my Barbie dolls was named Peaches as a child. I thought that was a really good name for a child, for a girl. Peaches. Still love it. So they're sucking and fucking, and we got the "You Got What It Takes" that's so good.
That
just
song
so
we played.
Smoothly comes. You got what it takes.
This scene's great. Everyone's just having great.
So,
everyone's soaking. I love it. I love the way everyone
and everybody's
looks.
Just off on some beanbag chairs on a
banging
on a plastic sheet, like everybody. And then mid orgy, the mom kind of comes in with the two guys from San Francisco.
Two scamps. That's what they're scamps.
That's right. They are scamps. I like calling them scamps. These two little scamps. From San Francisco, and she brings him in, and she sees Peaches like kind of grinding on the back of her dad, and she was like, "No, Peaches, no, it's not right, it's incest," and she like yells
it
out.
Mom.
And she goes, "Mommy,
Dad, yeah,
Daddy, oh!" And she's like hugging everybody and gleefully,
"We're a family again.
We're a family now." And then she's like so happy, and she's like, you know, just being like really ecstatically happy and hugging them naked, and she's like all oiled up. And then Dad's like, "I'm getting out of here and going back to the farm," and Peaches is like, "Daddy, what?" And it just ends so beautifully.
And what did she say? The great line though. I thought this was an ordinary party.
Oh my god! Oh, that's right. Hold on. Wait. So it's this close up of her, and she goes, "I thought this was an ordinary party.
I didn't know." Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
The whole time, like, I was also like, I'm obsessed with fake fingernails and like how long they've been around. Did you know that back in ancient times, the Mediterranean women would put pistachio shells on their fingers and paint them various colors? Did you know that, Mike, if you squeeze a young fig, it makes an adhesive? And I've seen people even try to do this now, and they would do that to make like old timey, like fake eyelashes and glue things to themselves, like a young green fig juice, so that they could put the fig glue and pistachio shells on their fingers. So you don't see a lot of fake nails in this era. But Peach's nails were great, and I was like, oh, man, she has, like, naturally beautiful nails. But in this scene at the very end, you see that she's missing three fingernails of her beautiful, long, red fingernails. And
Tara clocked it.
You know I'm going to clock that, and it's because those oil, like when you're using mineral oil and baby oil, it's essentially a makeup remover. Like anything you have that's adhesive, it's going to come off. So if you soak your fake fingernails in the glue and that oil, it's going to make them come off. It lifts them. So that's how you like get them off. So like, I'm sure, you know, she lost it the hard way somewhere in someone. Probably who even knows?
Might still be in there.
You got to be careful. Well, it'd be a fun souvenir to find later. You're like, ha, look at that. There it is. But I thought that that was fantastic and I liked it. And then it made me be like, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, she was wearing fake nails and I like to know that. And I appreciate her artifice because I thought her nails were lovely.
So Pretty Peach is truly one of our favorites. You know, Alec Dorenzi made, there's two more Pretty Peaches. There's the Blu-ray that's been around for so long has all three. We've never watched the other two. I'm definitely open to watching
Wait,
them.
I thought we watched the second one, no?
No, never did. Okay. Maybe it's the same director. I'm sure it's still great. And I think he was still shooting on film at that time. I mean, he eventually obviously went to video like most porn directors. So I'm curious to see what they look like. I bet they're fun, but it's just so hard to separate from the first one. Maybe it's like, but maybe Tara, it's like a Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 situation where they're great.
Just in their own way.
In their own world. Yeah. So we'll get to the other Peaches at some point. But I do know, I'll say right now, the next porn movie we do is definitely going to be Roommates, which is a movie that really affected us that we really, really love. And that'll be the next.
It's just a good movie.
That'll be the next porn we do. But, you know,
we're not going to do that immediately.
Yeah. But I mean, we are obviously going to do a lot of porn. So it might be something like once a month or something like that. We haven't set it out exactly. But I will say that the next movie we do for next week, so maybe if you want to prepare, is going to be Tenement Game of Survival, which was actually directed by Roberta Finlay, who did a lot of porn movies. This is not a porn movie, but we really, really loved her movie, The Oracle.
Yes.
And something we talked about recently, and we'll certainly do another episode on The Oracle as Christmas time approaches this year. But Tenement was another movie she did that I'm really excited to talk about. Tara has not seen it, so I'm excited to show it to her. As you'll hear, if you're new, a lot of times there'll be movies that I always say I base coded and watched and then show Tara. So that has happened a lot. Or movies that you've base coded and watched, because I'm sure there's going to be some of those coming up, especially when we talk about some of the old timey movies that you've seen that I've never seen.
I like
so
one.
We'll be doing that as well. So Tenement Game of Survival is going to be the next movie we do. But like I said, we have a list. We have a lot coming up. So stay tuned. And this is your first time hearing us in this format. Welcome. If you've popped over from our other series, welcome back. And we're excited to continue this espionage, this underground espionage. So, Tara, you got anything final to say about Peaches or just anything in general?
I thought it was a regular party.
We all thought it was a regular party. Talk to you next week.